Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Josh Peek. And today happens to be Saturday, the 25th of July, 2020. Hi, everybody. How are you doing? Hope everybody's doing well. Coronavirus is still kicking out there, and don't know if it's getting better or worse. Depends on which Facebook feed you read. It's been one of those things lately where I've been out and about into the public and we've been seeing signs that say you're required to wear a mask, and then you go inside and no one's wearing a mask. There is a weird thing about the American spirit, the American idea of you're not the boss of me. I can do what I want. I don't have to listen to you. Maybe it is the rebellion that we had years ago, where we were British controlled and we said we don't want that, or where groups of people left their countries on a ship headed out into the unknown for the hopes that there's a new world, quote unquote, just to get away from the situation they were in. You know, and maybe that's our fascination with history. Maybe that's our fascination with watching how our countries developed and coming up with our own conspiracy theories and our own ideas about the past and about how things have developed. This morning, I listened to a Joe Rogan podcast where he's interviewing Oliver Stone, and there's a lot of discussion about Oliver's obviously first big hit, Platoon, about his time in Vietnam, about how he made the movie really similar to things that he saw. He did amp it up a little bit with, you know, extra bombs going off and stuff like that. But he wanted to show a realistic version of how things could go terribly wrong. He talked about getting young actors from different areas of the globe. He wanted a couple of older actors and, you know, like Tom Berenger and William Dafoe to be more of the seasoned guy who's been around the block a couple times. And he wanted to show a little bit of everyone's personalities meshing together to try and accomplish the same goals. And in that, you know, there's also the discussion of during Vietnam, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, and a lot of the black servicemen at the time felt as though their country had betrayed them in a lot of ways. And I watched, I don't know if I talked about this, but I watched Spike Lee's The Five Bloods on Netflix. Great movie. Basically, these five guys had gone to Vietnam. They'd fought together. They were a group of guys that were best friends. They went through a lot together. One of the main characters I recognized, and I had to look him up to make sure I was looking at the right guy, is the guy that played the Black Panther. I don't know his name. I'm sorry. I didn't actually do the research on this. I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head. But the story was very interesting in the fact that during their combat session, they come upon a treasure of gold. And one of their main guys in their group dies, and they bury him supposedly near the gold. And they bury the gold there thinking, we can't get this out of here because they're in the middle of a combat thing and they're getting airlifted out of there. But they want to come back one day for the gold and for their brother. And they come back in what's supposed to be like present day time. And they're in different stages of PTSD. Some of them are, you know, drinking their way to oblivion. Some of them are having psychotic breaks where they're haunted by images of their past. Some of them are, you know, trying to move forward with their life, and maybe succeeding, maybe failing, maybe feeling like they didn't live up to their potential while they were serving. It's an interesting conversation in the fact that, you know, we are all in those spectrums of people. We all have it within us to be great. When I was in the Marine Corps, there was a famous quote that I listened to and repeated by Admiral Chester Nimitz, who said that uncommon valor is a common virtue, meaning that it's within everybody to become great. Anybody has the potential to become a hero. Anybody who has the potential of being a better version of themselves. And it can be common that everyone rises to the occasion when needed. you see it in time and time again, especially in movies and stuff like that, where they show the person who's been weak all the, you know, through the whole, you know, voyage or the journey or whatever. And suddenly they have a moment of strength, a moment when they rise above, and a moment where they end up becoming the hero. And everyone has that potential. But here's the thing is, like, potential is one thing, but to actuate it and to become it and to do it is something else. I mean, that takes effort. It takes skill. It takes skill's the wrong word. It's not skill. It takes action. So we all have it within ourselves to do something great. We just have to act on it. So, you know, I hear that and it's in my brain, and, you know, also in the leadership traits, know yourself and seek self-improvement. Well, where is your weakness? Where is the thing you need to work on? What is the thing you want to overcome? What is the thing that has held you back? Is there something in within yourself that you're going, yeah, things are pretty great, except I wish I could work on this one thing. This is where I'm, where my insecurities are. This is where my faults are. This is something I don't do well. And I've worked with lots and lots of people over the years, and we get into those conversations, and you know, used to be that running was what I felt the weakest at. I was not a good runner. I didn't have the cardio. And in the Marine Corps, I made it one of my strengths. I got up early in the morning and I ran on a daily basis, and I ran a lot. And I didn't like running. I hated running, which is why I don't run now. I mean, I'm 46 now, and I'd rather not run if I don't have to. To me, I've already slayed that dragon. I've already overcome that obstacle. It was also tied to what I considered extreme work. It was the thing I hated, but I did it to become a better person. And once I accomplished the thing I wanted to accomplish, I thought, okay, I don't really need to accomplish this anymore. I've done it. There's no question mark in my brain of what I can overcome as far as that goes. But I had other question marks and other dragons to slay and other things to accomplish. So I focused myself towards those things. But that's just the way my brain is wired. And not everybody is that way. There's a lot of people who just want to exist. They just want to eat Hot Pockets and watch Netflix and do the bare minimum. And I mean, I had the potential to be that. I was that for a long time, up until I found out I was going to be a dad. I was 20 years old and found out I was going to be a dad. I was transitioning from my life of boredom, my life of content, my life of doing the bare minimum to survive, doing whatever I wanted, the quote-unquote freedom of, you know, work when I want to work, make the money I want to make, split rent with a couple of guys or guy and a girl or whatever the situation was, and just enjoy life to a point. But as much as I thought I was doing at the time, I get my tax returns now and I look at it and I go, wow, I wasn't making $20,000 then. And I got a question, what was I doing with my life? I mean, yes, I was working 7 days a week. Yes, I had a girlfriend at the time. Was it a great scenario? No. Was I living up to my potential? Absolutely not. Was I happier then? I don't think so. I got in a discussion this past week with someone about what makes you happy. What is the thing that you wish you could do for a living that made you happy? And I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I really don't know the answer to that. For years, the thing that I've did for money was the thing that I could find, whatever it was that was available. I had to look at my own strengths and go, okay, what am I capable of? I'm strong. I can follow orders. I follow through with things. Okay, check, check, check. I have a sense of responsibility and security about me. So I know kind of what to look for. I know how to be cautious in certain situations. I know how to talk to people. I'm a good listener. But I never had the freedom, I guess you'd say, of going, I wonder what I want to be when I grow up. Every time I would ask myself that, I could just, you might as well swirl my eyes around in circles and go, I have no idea. I mean, I still have no idea. I'm 46 years old. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. That's one of the reasons I ask people all the time. So what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I think somewhere along the way, someone's going to have a really good idea. And I'll be like, that sounds like fun. So let's do that. But up until this, you know, I've just done whatever I have to do. Now, I work for an organization now that pays me well to do the job that I do. And I work with lots of guys who, there's not one person there, if you asked them when they were children, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they would say this job. But when you have a family and you got to take care of them, you do whatever you have to do to pay the bills. And that's just what it is. So Hollywood has sold us on this idea that you got to love what you do. You don't have to love what you do. You just have to do what you do. I think the goal is to find what it is you like outside of your job. I think you're supposed to do your job and then have a hobby that you enjoy. Start a podcast, make YouTube videos, build hot rods, you know, go fishing, go hunting, ride motorcycles, whatever the thing is. I had a conversation with a guy recently about how he grew up in a really rough situation where he, for whatever reason, got involved with gangs. And he's like, there was no reason for me to be involved in gangs. I grew up in a nice home with parents who loved me, and we never hurt for anything. It wasn't like I was disenfranchised. It wasn't like I was looking for a new family, but I bonded with people who were bad people. And I made really bad choices with those bad people to the point where I almost died. And I talked to him about being on the podcast, and I don't think he's going to do it, which is fine. I would rather the dialogue come from me anyway in this scenario, because I see the person that he is now, and I realize that he's a father now, he's a husband, he's a provider, he's consistent. He's everything that his dad was, and yet he still has that desire to self-destruct in a way. He started to ride motorcycles and be involved in a motorcycle gang, and he's telling me that some things are getting rough, and he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And I said, well, it sounds like you're wanting to self-destruct again. Do you want to go back to that? Do you want to be involved in that kind of life again? Because right now, what you're doing with your kids, being a dad, being consistent, being the guy that everyone relies on, is a totally different guy than the guy who goes, let's burn it all. Let's do whatever that my youth tells me is cool. I mean, I don't know that if I had him on the podcast, he would actually admit to any of that. I don't know that he would want any of the people from his past or any of the people that he's associated with now to find out anything about how he feels. Now, there is anonymity. Is that the word? Anonymity? He's anonymous, okay? There is anonymity of me discussing it as a random person. Okay. You have no idea who this person is, and that's fine. He probably will never listen to this podcast. That's fine too. None of the people that he associates with listens to this podcast. That's fine too. But I see the internal struggle that he has of, I like being a dad. I like being a husband. I want more out of life. He talks about wanting to be a property owner and have multiple properties that he could then build wealth from. He's like, I watched my father do it, and it's worked great for him. It's allowed him the freedoms to choose a lot of things in life that isn't available to everybody, but it started in a small way of, I'm going to pay this off. I'm going to get another place. I'm going to rent this out. And then I'm going to keep doing that over and over until I build up properties that I can then get an income from. Nothing wrong with that. Very smart idea. He has that. It's already in his wheelhouse. He's doing it in a sense. He bought a house that was way cheaper than he could have afforded, but he said, there's nothing wrong with this house. This house is great. He's like, I can stay in this house. I can definitely afford it. I can pay it off early. then we can look for another house and we can rent this one out and have an income. Smart guy, right? And he's also talking about racing motorcycles and going 120 miles an hour and getting involved with some crazy stuff that his brothers in this motorcycle gang want to do. And he's like, there's a weird part of me that enjoys that. Okay. Is that any different? Well, I guess it is. I was going to say, is that any different than the guy who becomes a responsible person and, you know, takes care of his family and whatnot, and then he gets really drunk and goes to Vegas and just unleashes chaos on the city? I mean, there is a self-destructive nature about people sometimes, and it's not always good. There is a duality within people. There's a duality in these movies that I watch. You know, listening to Oliver Stone talk about his past, talk about the things that he went through, about his father, you know, being a military guy who was a staunch Republican who was into Eisenhower. And he's like, I felt like I wanted to see the world. I wanted to see a different version. I want to see it for myself. And he said, my father never served combat time, and I did. And when I came home, I had a different version of life than he did. And he said, and I saw horrendous things. And when I came home, I started writing screenplays about what I'd seen. And he talks about, he wrote Platoon during that time. I think as a storyteller, Oliver Stone did a great job. I mean, he has definitely shown us versions of our own lives that maybe the train left the tracks. Maybe people who were supposed to be good people did really poor things, made really bad decisions. And I know lots of really good people who've made really bad decisions. I'm one of them. I'll admit it. I'm a good person, but at times I make really terrible decisions. Now, my goal, me personally, my goal is the older I get, I make less poor decisions because it affects other people and I don't want to affect other people. I respect people too much. There are people around me who depend on me. And if I make a poor decision, it affects their life. So it's on my shoulders. I mean, there are times where I want to hit the accelerator and go real fast. There are times where I want to jump off the thing that's really high and let the consequences lay where they may as I have fun jumping into whatever, a lake, a river, a whatever. But I don't know what's on the bottom. I don't know what's in there. I don't know how it's going to affect me. I don't know if I can get hurt. There's parts of this coronavirus where I want to walk into public and be like, I don't need a mask. I'm fine. Is that the responsible thing? No, it's not. Are there people around me that could be affected? Absolutely. But I mean, you know, we are dealing with a lot right now as a people. And hopefully, a version of what I'm doing, everyone's doing. Hopefully, there's conversations happening amongst us all about what we're doing to become better people, what we can do to help each other, what we can do to move forward as a people. I had a good conversation with my buddy Josh Treadaway on the phone the other day, and he listens to the podcast a good bit, and he had a good laugh about, you know, Greg and I discussing him and the fact that we watch him grow up now, and it's inspiring to see him develop into his own fully formed human and not just be a follower, not just be an existing person that kind of just sort of figures out a way to keep hanging in there. I mean, he's establishing his own ideas. He's, you know, they're not always what we agree with, and that's fine. Like, I like the fact that I have friends that have different opinions than me. And there are times where he and I share opinions that are powerful. I mean, When I moved into this house, it freaked me out because I come from a trailer park mentality where we barely had anything. And the goal was to live as cheaply as possible because it could all go away if you're not careful enough. And then when I built this house and I moved into it, it freaked me out. I mean, I I couldn't really translate it into words properly, but he was the first person I called and I go, I'm really wigging out. And he's like, it's fine. It'll be fine. You're fine. You work hard. It'll be fine. And I was like, yeah, but I'm freaking out, dude. This place is so expensive. And it was compared to what I was used to. It was a huge step. It was a huge responsibility. And it was a sort of transitioning from a child's mentality to a grown man's mentality. You know, having children is supposed to do that. And it did for me in a lot of ways. I mean, having sons made me grow up in a hurry. My first son was born when I was 20. My second one at 22. And I was in the Marine Corps. I was married to a woman that I wasn't happy with. There was a lot of responsibility with that. There was a lot of responsibility in the military. I had a lot of jobs that I was doing that I wasn't really qualified to do. I wasn't properly trained to do, but I could do it. I was adaptable. I had jobs that I can't really talk about ever. Not that there was any violence involved. I actually got really lucky when that comes to play, because it was during sort of a transitionary period between Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and Somalia. So I didn't have to go anywhere and fight anybody. Nobody died. But there were things that I was involved with that I can't talk about, on here at least. But it's responsibility. So it did change me. It did force me to grow up. But even marrying my wife now that I'm, you know, Dolores, I mean, we've been married 15 years. We've been together almost 20. Even marrying my wife wasn't the same impact as purchasing this house. This house was just a tremendous responsibility. It was something that we fought for. It was something that we together had as a goal. It was something that we built the house. So we actually planned what we wanted. We were like, this is what we want. And we fought for it with a blended family with three kids. Three teenage boys. Hey, kids, this is what we're doing. And you sort of have to get everybody on board. And you have to go, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And we did. And it freaked me out a little bit. And I can only imagine what everybody goes through within their own scenarios. I saw a thing by Jordan Peterson. It was this thing that he wrote. And there's a picture attached to it. It's very interesting. It had lots of faces in the picture. It was something like almost like an optical illusion. But it says, I'm going to read you this thing. It says, it's really hard to think. You have to be trained like mad to think. You have to be able to divide yourself internally into a couple of different people. And then you have to let those people have war in your head. And that means you have to develop characters who have opinions in great detail, opinions that might be contrary to your own, and then you have to withstand the tension of letting them have it out. It's a pretty interesting way to put it. I've said this before, like if you had an internal dialogue, you have to somehow have different forms of opinions and then debate each other. This is one of the things I like about comedians, is a lot of times comedians, not just the shock ones. I mean, like thinking comedians, like Dave Chappelle, like Bill Burr, Joe Rogan. Let's argue a point, and then let's argue the opposite point. Bill Burr, during his last special, he goes, listen, this is unpopular opinions, but let's talk about it. You guys aren't going to like this, but let's talk about it. Dave Chappelle did it too in his Sticks and Stones special. He's like, listen, this is ridiculous. I get this is an unpopular way to think. But let's talk about it. Let's find the funny in it. So sometimes you have to force yourself to think outside the box in order to then find out what your idea is. You have to make yourself think in ways you wouldn't normally think just to find out who you are, what your opinion is. I'm always hesitant of people who just parrot other people's stuff. I'm always leery of someone who just gets on board. Like right now, we have an election going on between Democrats and Republicans, and that's the only two people that are allowed to play, the Red Party and the Blue Party. We don't even have to call them Democrats and Republicans. We can just call them Team A and Team B. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which is which. The fact that there's only two choices is stupid. In your own brain, could you come up with more than two ways to look at a thing? I mean, seriously. And do you like being told that if you believe in one thing, you have to believe in everything that person believes? I don't. I don't know if that's human spirit or if that's American spirit. I mean, I don't. I want to be an independent thinker. I want to stand on my own two feet. I want to say what it is I believe in. I want to have a right to vote for who I want to vote for. I don't like these primaries where they're like, you can only vote on this side or that side. I'm like, but why? Why? We don't ask enough why. As a people, we don't ask enough why questions. So anyway, that's just my two cents worth. Go watch The Five Bloods on Netflix. Spike Lee did a great job. The actors in that did a great job. There's one guy in particular. Holy cow, he's a shell-shocked fella, and his acting is amazing. Amazing. Speaking of acting, though, I just watched the entire season of Cursed on Netflix. It just came out. I know there's lots of titles that are called Cursed, whether it's movies or TV shows of the past or whatever. This came out recently on Netflix. The main character, I wrote her name down so I wouldn't screw it up, is Catherine Langford. Her character is called Nimue. Okay. The premise of the show, when you watch the preview, is before King Arthur became king, there was a queen. And they show images of Merlin, and they show images of Excalibur. And it's like, ooh, interesting idea for a show. So Catherine Langford, I saw her on the screen and immediately I thought, God, she looks familiar. I couldn't quite place where I'd seen her before. And then my stepson goes, dude, you know, she's the girl from, she's Hannah Baker on 13 Reasons Why. And I was like, oh crap. I didn't even realize that was her. Man, cool. Yeah. So she's the main character. Great show. It's a great show. Merlin is actually played by Gustav Skarsgård. If you watch the Vikings, he also plays Floki on the Vikings on the History Channel. Really good actor, really powerful guy. The show starts off with him being kind of a drunk and useless. And then you meet the main character, You learn about the sword. The sword starts showing that it has its own powers. And they talk about the Fae, which is fairies during this mythical time. Again, this is folklore. This is stories of the past, that kind of stuff. But like, I grew up as a kid watching Excalibur as a movie. And it was so interesting because it was, you know, the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur overcoming the odds and the Lady of the Lake giving him Excalibur, which is supposed to be like the powerful sword that is supposed to be the King of Kings sword. And whoever wields the sword is the king. You know, the sword's supposed to be in the stone. You get the sword and the stone stories. where no one can pull the sword out of the stone except the one true king. So then you get stories of, you know, it just goes on and on. There's cartoons about it. There's movies about it. There's TV shows about it. There's a show on Netflix right now called Merlin. I think it was originally on like the Sci-Fi Network or something like that. I've never watched it. I think I've watched two episodes and I was like, this is stupid. But they have five seasons. I looked it up last night. I was like, ooh, five seasons. Might be worth watching. But this is different. This is sort of taking its own liberties because, you know, are you going to retell the same story of King Arthur over and over? You could, but you're going to have that kind of reaction. So this is a story before that. And these two actors make the show awesome. And in every show, you need a bad guy. And this has several bad guys in it that are really wicked people. And it makes the show very compelling. It makes the show interesting. You know, I've said it before, one of the best bad guys ever is Vincent D'Onofrio playing Kingpin on Daredevil. He's a powerful force on camera, and he did a great job of playing Kingpin. And it's because of him that Daredevil was such a good show. You got to have a good bad guy to make a good show. Star Wars had Darth Vader. What a better bad guy. He even had his own theme music when he walked in the room. Dun, 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 dun. And you knew right away it was going to be like, oh, it's about to get good. Like, what other bad guy has his own theme music? I mean, geez. But this is good. This has several bad guys in it that as soon as you see him on the screen, you're like, oh, crap, it's about to get really rough. And I kept waiting for moments of Merlin becoming the all-powerful magician that we've seen in other movies and other iterations, where he's sort of a kook, but he's sort of brilliant also. And there's a lot of that in the beginning of him being really kooky, really quirky. But he doesn't show a lot of magic in the beginning. Like, not to spoil anything, but I'm just saying. But the show is good. The show moves forward. The show develops the characters in a way that's very compelling and interesting. There is even a side story of this girl's best friend named Pim meeting up with some Vikings. The Vikings get folded into the story at a certain point. They do have some weird metal things that are in their face that's a little distracting. I don't think they would actually be wearing that kind of stuff, because if they did, if they got punched in the face, it would probably ruin the fight. So I think they took some artistic talents with that, some liberties. But that, and they've got King Arthur as sort of a half black, half white guy. He's not the king yet. He's just Arthur, just a guy named Arthur. And I don't think he's supposed to be King Arthur. I think he's just supposed to be Arthur right now. I mean, at a certain point, there has to be the sword pulling from the stone, and that was done with him as a boy, and this guy is like a man. So it's not going to be this guy. But maybe he has a kid named Arthur, and then that kid is the, I don't know. Because, you know, you name your kid, you know, so-and-so junior or so-and-so the second. Maybe he's Arthur the second. Maybe that's how they'll write it. I don't know. I'm interested to see what they're going to do. The ending episode, there's a lot packed into the last episode. There's 10 episodes in the season. They're about an hour long, close to it, not in a full hour. But the ending is tremendous. The final episode, I had to go back and rewatch part of it like 3 and 4 times just because it was so beautifully done. All right, so I'm going to spoil it here in just a second, okay? So if you don't want to hear it spoiled, just fast forward a bit, okay? So I'm going to ruin this in just a few seconds, okay? 1, 2, 3. All right, so here it is. Dude, when the black chick, you know, suddenly becomes death, and they're like, what, how? And she's like, death came to collect me, and I killed her, and I became death. And I was like, what? Holy cow, that was so incredible. And then Merlin, when his daughter dies, and he grabs a sword, and lightning shoots through him, and it's like in his eyes, and he shoots it from the sky, and then he shoots it down on that evil chick, and then he like Radon in a video game shoots it out of his hands, and I was like, I took pictures of that kind of stuff and I put it on Instagram because I was like, I looked for it. I looked for the images online. I couldn't find any images. I actually had to go on my computer this morning and play the movie and use my phone and snap video and photos. I was like, I gotta like get screenshots of this. This is so cool. But you know, huge shout out to Gustav Skarsgård. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Gustav. How do you pronounce that? Someone Scandinavian, let me know how you pronounce that. Great character development from everybody. The Green Knight is an interesting character. I think that he's not dead. I also think that that Nimue is not dead. I think she's gonna come back in season two. I think that the evil chick, that's still a really short chick, I think she has powers that maybe we don't see yet. This is kicking off point of it being like accelerated, just off to the races. And now Merlin has the sword and he has death. This is going to be good. This is good. This is good so far. I'm excited. We've had two really good shows back to back, Warrior Nun and this. This is incredible. Next weekend, Umbrella Academy, the second season comes out. So I'm looking forward to that. Lots of good stuff, man. Good shows being made. Thank goodness. I'd be so bored without it. So anyway, if you guys fast forward, this is where you can go back to normal. thank you to everybody who subscribes and sticks with me and gives me pointers and tells me that my sound quality is terrible. And on the outside episode where I was at the beach, I'm going to work on this kind of stuff. I want to do more of that kind of stuff. But I will improve the quality of the sound. I'm going to order some more equipment. The hard part is finding the reviews on what actually works the way I want it to work. YouTube is a source, but not everybody does things the way you would do them or the way I would do them, if you know what I mean. So you sort of have to go out on your own and try things and go, let's see what happens. So that's what I did. When I used the iPad outside, that was just experimenting. I was like, let's see how it works. I thought the video looked fine, but the sound was horrible. Now, I could have probably done something different if I'd used like a lavalier mic, and but even then, it would have picked up the surf sound. So, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out, though. Okay? That's my promise to you. I'm going to figure it out. So, stick around. See what happens. Be part of the conversation. If you guys like what I talked about today, if you guys want to talk more about it, let me know. Go check out Joe Rogan's podcast with Oliver Stone. Very cool interview. You know, I had no idea that he did Scarface. I watched Scarface a lot as a kid. I had no idea that he did Scarface. I watched Scarface a lot in the Marine Corps. So, I mean, as a kid, maybe I watched it once or twice. In the Marine Corps, we watched it 50 times. Yeah. That and Blood In, Blood Out and American Me. Of course, I was serving with a lot of Latino guys from Mexico. But, you know, those gangster movies. Watching it with a bunch of disenfranchised guys who were wanting to be part of something. And we were. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you miss it? I said, no. And yes. I don't miss the fact that they owned me and could tell me to do anything and I had to do it. I do miss the brotherhood. Now, I got to think that my situation is different than the guy I was talking to you about earlier in the motorcycle group. I don't feel like I need to be in a group like that anymore. I read it once that someone had said, I forget who it was. Maybe it was Ronald Reagan, who said that most men go their entire lives never feeling they belong. Marines never question that. never have that problem or something like that. Some version of that is what he said. And I was only in for 4 years, but I do feel that way. It defines me in a lot of ways. I had questions about who I was and what I stood for and where my loyalties were and what I was willing to put up with and what I wasn't willing to put up with and how I was going to be a man to my own sons when I didn't really have a shining example of what a man was. And that's why I joined the Marine Corps. And those questions were answered, or at least gave me a foothold to then write my own story. And I worry about my own kids. I worry about their version of their own story. Are they living up to their potential? Are they challenging themselves to think outside the box? Are they challenging themselves to be better men? I don't know. It's just because it's my journey doesn't mean it's everyone's journey. You know, and I'm more okay with my friends being very different than me than I am with my kids being very different than me. I guess because it's genetic and you sort of hope that some part of you comes through with them. Some part of you shines within them. And when it's your friends, you're just like, I'll take them at face value. They are who they are. I still love them. I mean, that's the reality. But your kids, you're like, come on. You have so much more potential. I mean, you're supposed to be a better version of me. And I know how screwed up I am. It's like, come on. But as they become adults, you have to go, okay, so they're screwed up in different ways. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. It is what it is. And with that being said, I'm lost and I'm going to wrap this up. I do want to talk about Bert Kreischer's Hot Summer Nights drive-in movie tour. He's talked a lot about it on podcasts, on Two Bears, One Cave, on the Bill Burt podcast, on his own podcast, the Burtcast. I really regret that I didn't go to Charlotte to see him perform. There's videos online that he's put up of what it was like. You can go on his Instagram. He puts a lot of videos on Instagram, especially his Instagram stories about things that he actually did and saw and experienced. And it looks like it was a ton of fun, and I would love to go to a show before he stops doing it. It's important that we support one another, support local businesses, support businesses you like. If you have the opportunity, if you're struggling, listen, I get it. Maybe it's the time to lean on each other and offer a hand and say, hey, do you need help? You know, we're going through our own stuff right now, and many of you are too. I have faith that we'll get through it. I had a conversation with someone recently, and he was saying that when everything turned bad, he went out and got a gun, and he's like, I've never had a gun before, but I went out and got a gun because I was scared for my family. And I was thinking, yeah, but you're broke. Like, who's going to break into your house? You got nothing. You got nothing. But now you got a gun. Okay. If it makes you feel better. It's interesting how the gun debate went away. That should be another podcast. We should talk about the gun debate. What do you guys think? Give me feedback. Let me know what you think. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up. I keep saying that, but I'm really going to do it this time. Thank you to everybody who subscribes. Thank you to everybody who's listening. It is making a difference. I'm seeing the numbers grow. Thank you to everybody who's bought shirts. Thank you to everybody who's sent me pictures of you wearing the shirts. To those of you who haven't, please send me the picture so I can put it on the Facebook and on the on the website, stuffiheard.com. You'll see it. It's all there. All the episodes, all the pictures, the guest photos, all the fun stuff. If you guys want to see more stuff on the website, let me know. I'm just looking to make it grow. Everything starts somewhere, and I'm starting. So help me grow. Help me help you help me grow. Is that right? Did I say that right? I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. Everybody take care. Thanks for watching. And as always, cue the cow.